In the next 2 years, a new type of battery, made with one of the most abundant elements on Earth, is set to become as cheap as the lithium-based batteries that power our world. This isn't a lab experiment. A single Chinese company plans to put them in 20,000 cars by 2026. What happens when the battery supply chain is completely rewritten? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking a seismic shift in the energy storage landscape. First, the commercial assault of sodium-ion batteries, led by Chinese giant CATL, which is now challenging lithium's dominance in everything from electric vehicles to the power grid itself.
Then we'll look at the staggering scale of investment in grid stability. We're talking about an $11 billion project in Utah, a nearly $5 billion financing deal in California, and a surge of new projects across Europe, all aimed at solving the intermittency of renewables.
And finally, we'll move from manufacturing to remanufacturing, exploring new university-led breakthroughs and the world's largest second-life EV battery factory that are building the circular economy for batteries. Let's get started. Troy, the big news this week seems to be coming from one company, CATL, the world's largest battery manufacturer. They're making a huge push with sodium-ion batteries. Can you break down what they've just announced?
They've launched a two-pronged commercialization strategy. First, they plan to have their second-generation sodium-ion batteries in up to 20,000 electric vehicles by the end of 2026. These aren't just for city cars. Their Nextra cells have an energy density over 175 watt-hours per kilogram, which is closing the gap with some LFP lithium chemistries.
LFP being lithium iron phosphate, the dominant, more affordable type of lithium-ion battery.
Exactly. The second part of their strategy is a new stationary storage system called Tenor Sodium. They're calling it the world's first verified sodium-ion grid solution and are targeting 1 gigawatt-hour of deployment by the end of 2026. Shipments start in China this September and go global by June 2027.
So they're attacking both the EV and the grid markets at the same time. Why is this specific battery technology suddenly so important?
Two reasons: cost and materials. Sodium is vastly more abundant and cheaper than lithium, and the chemistry avoids expensive, geopolitically sensitive metals like cobalt and nickel. Analysts at Bernstein Research now predict sodium ion will reach cost parity with LFP batteries within 2 to 3 years. That makes it a direct threat. Its other key advantage is performance in extreme cold, maintaining over 90% capacity at minus 40 degrees Celsius.
That's a game changer for EVs in Northern Europe or the Northern US. How should US and European auto manufacturers view this? Is this a competitive threat?
It's an enormous competitive threat. While Western auto manufacturers are still optimizing their lithium-ion supply chains, CATL is commercializing a cheaper, more resilient alternative. This gives Chinese EV makers partnered with CATL, like Changan Automobile, a potential cost and performance advantage, especially for mass-market vehicles. European manufacturers must now accelerate their own sodium-ion R&D or risk being priced out of the affordable EV segment.
And for trading companies and distributors who deal in electronics or energy systems?
They need to prepare for a diversification of the battery market. Sourcing will no longer be a lithium-only conversation. We're already seeing other Chinese firms like Baiwat launching modular residential sodium-ion systems, like their PowerNest R5. Distributors in Europe and the U.S. should be identifying potential sodium-ion suppliers now and understanding the technical specifications. The market is about to get much more complex, but also offers new sourcing opportunities outside the traditional lithium sphere.
So, what's the actionable insight for executives this week?
Western automotive and energy executives need to immediately commission a strategic assessment of sodium ion's impact on their 5-year product roadmaps and supply chain dependencies. This is no longer a future technology. It is a present and escalating competitive reality.
Beyond sodium ion, there's a flood of news about long-duration energy storage, or LDES. The U.S. Department of Energy just announced a new $30 million demonstration program. What's the strategy here?
The DOE strategy is to de-risk and commercialize a portfolio of LDES technologies that can discharge power for over 10 hours, and in some cases, over 24 hours. This is critical for grid stability, as more intermittent renewables like solar and wind come online. The funding is targeting diverse technologies beyond lithium-ion, like organic flow batteries from CM Blue Energy, and even thermal storage using heated sand.
We're seeing a similar government push in the UK, right?
Correct. The UK's regulator Ofgem just selected 16 projects for its LDES cap and floor scheme. This is a financial support mechanism to guarantee revenue, which encourages private investment. The projects are technologically diverse, including pumped hydro, compressed air energy storage, and vanadium redox flow batteries. It's a clear signal that governments on both sides of the Atlantic see LDES as a national energy security imperative.
And we're seeing some of these alternative technologies land major commercial deals. Tell me about Energy Dome's CO2 battery.
Energy Dome, an Italian company, has developed a fascinating system. It uses electricity to compress carbon dioxide into a liquid. When power is needed, the liquid CO2 expands back into a gas, spinning a turbine to generate electricity. It's a closed-loop system with no emissions that provides long-duration storage from 8 to 24 hours without using lithium.
And they've just signed two significant deals.
Yes, a 23-megawatt, 200-megawatt-hour plant in Ireland with Google, set for commissioning in 2028, and a 19-megawatt, 10-hour-duration system in Arizona with utility Salt River Project. These aren't pilots. They are major commercial deployments with a tech giant and a major U.S. utility.
For a U.S. or European manufacturer, what does this government push into diverse LDES technologies mean?
It creates a massive opportunity. Manufacturers of pumps, turbines, control systems, and advanced materials should be aligning their business development with these funded projects. Companies like CM Blue, Energy Dome, and others will need robust industrial supply chains. For heavy energy users, like chemical plants or data centers, this signals the emergence of new, non-lithium options for on-site energy resilience and cost management.
And for trading companies that source energy components.
The market for grid components is about to expand significantly. Instead of just sourcing battery cells, they'll be looking at components for flow batteries, CAES systems, and CO2 batteries. This requires building new technical expertise and supplier relationships. The partnership between Google and Energy Dome shows that market timing is now. Large corporations are actively procuring these novel systems.
So the key action for executives?
Industrial equipment and engineering firms should immediately engage with the companies selected by the DOE and Ofgem programs. These are your future customers. For energy buyers, begin evaluating these emerging LDES technologies as viable alternatives to lithium-ion for long-duration needs, especially for projects with a 2028 or later timeline.
Let's talk about the sheer scale of the battery projects being announced. It's not just new tech, it's the size of the conventional lithium-ion deployments that is staggering.
It truly is. In Europe, we just saw three independent power producers, BWESS, GreenVolt, and GigaStorage, launch projects totaling 11 gigawatt hours. To put that in perspective, that's enough to power millions of homes. BWESS is building a 5.7 gigawatt hour system in Germany, while GreenVolt is partnering with BYD for 2.4 gigawatt hours in Poland, and GigaStorage is working with Tesla on a 2.8 gigawatt hour project in Belgium.
And in the US, the numbers are just as massive.
Even bigger. In California, IPX Power just secured $4.95 billion in financing for its Darden project, which combines 1.15 gigawatts of solar with a 4.6 gigawatt-hour battery system. And in Utah, the Green River Energy Center just came online. It's a $1.1 billion project with 400 megawatts of solar and a 1,600 megawatt-hour, or 1.6 gigawatt-hour, battery.
These are colossal infrastructure projects. What's the implication for a European manufacturer, say in Germany, seeing these massive battery installations?
Two things. First, it means more stable grids and potentially more predictable energy pricing in the long run. Projects like the 1.6 gigawatt-hour Dion BESS being built by EQ Energy in Germany will even provide black start capability.
Explain what black start means for a factory owner.
It means that in the event of a total grid collapse, this battery system can restart a section of the power grid on its own without needing external power. It drastically improves energy security. The second implication is competitive. Manufacturers in regions with this level of storage infrastructure will have a reliability advantage over those in regions that lag behind.
What should trading and distribution companies take from this? The partnerships are interesting here. GreenVolt with BYD, GigaStorage with Tesla.
The key takeaway is that the BESS market is maturing into a major infrastructure class with established bankable technology providers. For distributors, this means opportunities to become certified partners for major players like Tesla, BYD, or others. For trading companies, it signals a massive and growing market for all related hardware, from inverters and switchgear to thermal management systems. The scale of these projects, like a Vangrid's 82 megawatt hour project in Oregon, means demand for these components is predictable and long-term.
What is the single most important action for executives to consider from this BEST explosion?
If you are in any business related to electrical infrastructure, construction, or logistics, you need a dedicated BEST strategy. The market is moving from megawatts to gigawatts. Analyze the supply chains of these multi-billion dollar projects and identify where your company can provide value. The opportunity is immense, but the scale requires strategic planning now.
Troy, with all these new batteries being deployed, the question of what happens at the end of their life becomes critical. We saw some fascinating developments in recycling and repurposing this week.
Absolutely. We're seeing innovation on two fronts: fundamental chemistry and industrial scale reuse. At Cornell University, scientists have developed what they call a direct electrode to electrode regeneration process. It's an electrochemical bath that can restore used lithium-ion electrodes to up to 95% of their original capacity.
So instead of grinding them up and extracting the metals, they're directly healing the battery components?
Exactly. This DEER process avoids the high energy and harsh chemicals of traditional recycling. The researchers report a 56% reduction in processing costs and significant cuts in water use and emissions. It's a potential paradigm shift.
And there was a similar breakthrough at UC San Diego.
Yes, but with a different focus. Their engineers developed a green method to upcycle spent LFP cathodes into higher performance LMFP cathodes. LMFP, or lithium manganese iron phosphate, stores more energy than LFP. So they aren't just restoring the material, they're making it better than it was before, turning a waste product into a higher value material.
From the lab to the factory floor, a Canadian company, Moment Energy, just launched something called Mega Factory One in Vancouver. What is it?
It's now one of the world's largest facilities for repurposing second life EV batteries. They take battery packs that no longer meet the rigorous demands for a car and re-engineer them into commercial-scale stationary storage systems for data centers, hospitals, and factories. They got the plant operational in just 6 weeks and are targeting an annual production capacity of 1 gigawatt hour by 2030.
How does this circular economy trend affect U.S. and European manufacturers?
For manufacturers using batteries in their products, from power tools to EVs, this signals a future where battery supply chains are less linear. It opens up the possibility of take-back programs and partnerships with companies like Moment Energy to create new revenue streams from end-of-life products. It also presents a competitive challenge. Firms that integrate circular principles can lower their carbon footprint and material costs, which is a powerful marketing and ESG advantage.
What about for distributors and trading companies? Is there a market for second life batteries?
A massive one is emerging. Distributors who have traditionally sold new energy systems will need to develop capabilities to handle, test, and sell certified second life BESS units. The market timing is now, as Moment Energy's rapid launch demonstrates. Trading companies should also watch the upcycling technologies from Cornell and UCSD. If they commercialize, there will be a new market for treated, high-performance cathode materials sourced from recycled stock.
And the actionable insight for our listeners?
Executives should begin planning for battery circularity. This means exploring partnerships with recyclers and second life companies, redesigning products for easier battery removal and reuse, and engaging with startups that are commercializing these new regeneration and upcycling technologies. The era of treating batteries as disposable is over.
Troy, an incredible amount of information this week. If we had to boil it down, what are the three key strategic takeaways for executives in the U.S. and Europe?
First, the sodium-ion battery is no longer a future prospect. It is an immediate commercial reality. CATL's aggressive push into both EVs and grid storage will reshape supply chains and create significant cost pressure on lithium-ion incumbents. Western firms must have a sodium-ion strategy, whether it's R&D, sourcing, or competitive analysis.
Second,
Second, the scale of investment in grid-level energy storage has reached the level of major national infrastructure. The multi-billion-dollar projects in the U.S. and the gigawatt-hour deployments across Europe are creating a massive, long-term market for hardware, software, and engineering services. The policy support from governments is clear, making this a stable and growing sector to target.
And the final takeaway?
Third, the battery life cycle is becoming circular. Innovations in direct regeneration, upcycling, and large-scale second-life manufacturing are moving from the lab to the factory. This creates new business models and supply sources. Companies that ignore the end-of-life value of their batteries will be at a competitive disadvantage in cost, sustainability, and brand perception.
Troy, thank you for translating this complexity into clear intelligence.
My pleasure, Susie.
That's all the time we have for this week's Troy Technical Intelligence. We're here to help you connect the dots between today's technology headlines and tomorrow's business strategy. Join us next week for another strategic briefing.
Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an update. Thank you for listening.